You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to a Week 13 edition of The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast. We will talk about the main slate in just a minute. However, good news, right after my, so I recorded the week 12 review on Monday afternoon, you know, kind of went off a little bit, how I was a bit peeved at the amount of people that were quick to lash out at me on Twitter, I guess you could say, over the poor takes for week 12, which I'm fine with, you know, whatever. However, let's paint the scene. It's 6 o'clock. Just got done eating dinner with the family. My wife breaks the news to me, which I did not know, that I had to take my daughter to dance class. Now, this is a surprise to me because she doesn't even have dance on Monday nights. She has dance on Wednesday nights. However, with the holiday, God forbid, they miss a dance class. She has to go twice this week. So Monday night, I have to take her to dance. My wife's got something else going on. I even have to take the nine-month-old and hang out in the dance lobby with him as well. So needless to say, running optimal lineups for the Monday night showdown did not happen. However, what I did was sitting in the lobby of the dance class, holding my son on my lap, I was able to, at the buzzer, like at 8 o'clock, create 11 showdown lineups by hand on my phone using the best correlative game theory methods that I thought possible. Only got to 11 lineups before lock hit. What do you know? The first lineup that I created was the optimal for the night. Ended up taking home a few thousand dollars. All is right in the world. Made those DMs sting a lot less. And really, to be honest, you know, that kind of stuff rolls off my back. It just tugged at the wrong string in week 12. Anyway, let's get into week 13. Week 13 is going to be super interesting. And I say that because I think there is a ton of value at running back. Not necessarily cheap value, but guys that I think are underpriced for their role and what they are, you know, capable of in week 13. So let's talk about them. Right off the bat, Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, he plays the Houston Texans. It's in Houston. I mean, Houston is literally the worst team against the run. I think they may have bumped up to the second worst team against the run, but they allow almost 140 yards on the ground. Taylor should eat, right? But we're gonna have to talk through the options here in a moment. Then there's Joe Mixon at 8,100. I mean, 8,100 for Joe Mixon, like, look out. However, he has just been smashing. He's had less than 25 DraftKings points once since week 6. That's mind-boggling, right? He's getting the touchdowns. He's getting the ball near the goal line, like those high-value touches. He's catching passes. He's over 120 yards in his last two games. He is smashing, and the Chargers give it up to the running backs, right? Their whole defensive philosophy is keep everything in front of them. Let teams run the ball. Let teams dink and dunk the ball. Don't let them beat you over the top. And just hopefully, you know, have them make a mistake in a 10 or 12 play drive. That, you know, is right up Mixon's alley in this instance. We also have Alexander Mattison at 7,600, right? He'll get the combined Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison role, all rolled into one against the 29th ranked run defense of the Detroit Lions. I mean, now, here's the thing. We don't know how much Kenny Ngwanu is going to work in. Maybe he gets some stuff, some some third down stuff. I don't personally know. We really haven't seen this situation before, you know, without Amir Abdullah in town. But then there is also, at 6K, Elijah Mitchell. Check out TJ Hernandez from 4for4's tweets over the last few hours. It's Thursday at 4 p.m. Check out a few of his tweets over the last few hours. Just like, I mean, Seattle gives up the most 20-point games to running backs. Teams have run, on five occasions, have given their running backs more than 30 touches. Like, Seattle is just a run funnel. They feed the running backs when opponents feed their running back when they play Seattle. So Elijah Mitchell is probably my favorite running back play on this slate, period. Cash, tournaments, whatever. Then there's Antonio Gibson. It does not look like J.D. McKissic will play. He has a concussion, it looks like. He had a weird neck thing happen. You know, he kind of went down, got tackled, his head hit a thigh on Monday night. And he will not be playing in this game. And I mean, man, you talk about looking good. Gibson was in the captain of that lineup that won the showdown slates for me on Monday night. McKissic was also in the lineup, actually, but neither here nor there. They're going to feed Antonio Gibson. Like, the shin, I don't think, is an issue anymore. He's getting the carries. He caught 5 passes on 7 targets. He's going to be, I'm sure Jared Patterson will work in a little bit, but he's going to be, you know, heavily involved as well. And those are the 5 guys that I am considering. I know that, you know, you're going to see a lot of Jamal Williams takes because DeAndre Swift is out. I think the 5 guys above him are much better plays. I think you might see Jamar Jefferson and Godwin Mbuke. I'm not sure if I even said his name right, but he's the 3rd string running back in Detroit. I think you're going to see him work in a little bit. So let's parse out those 5 guys. Which of those guys do you think can get or has the biggest paths to failure? For me, and this is tough, like, I'm really thinking about playing both Elijah Mitchell and Antonio Gibson for 2 reasons. Well, 1 reason a piece, I guess. Number one, the only reason Elijah Mitchell didn't have about 60 DK points last week was because Deebo Samuel got a bunch of carries and even a rushing touchdown, and has had them in 2 of the last 3 weeks or something like that. There is no Deebo Samuel this week. It's probably going to be all Elijah Mitchell with a little bit of Jeff Wilson mixed in. I love that, especially against the run funnel Seahawks. Antonio Gibson, no J.D. McKissic, right? So Antonio Gibson's snaps are going to go up. We know that. And those two are 6K and 5.7K. I mean, that's just incredible value. I think both those guys are pretty much locked in for me. Unless there's, you know, unless something goes awry with Gibson's shin, he is questionable. He was limited in practice, but I don't think that's an issue. Now, the death of me is probably going to be deciding between one of Jonathan Taylor, Joe Mixon, Alexander Mattison. So I think the question we have to ask ourselves, and I would not be opposed to, and maybe I'll still even do it, using 2 of Taylor, Mixon, Mattison, and only 1 of Gibson or Elijah Mitchell. At this point, though, I think I'm probably going to use both Elijah Mitchell and Antonio Gibson. You know, it is Thursday. We'll see what we get to. But I think the main question is, you know, who has the most paths to failure, or who is the riskiest in terms of, like, can the game script go in the opposite direction? I think it's hard for me to see that happening with Jonathan Taylor, right? Like, I think he's locked in for 20 plus touches, probably over 100 yards, probably a touchdown, maybe 2, right? I think his floor is like 18 to 20 points. Mixon at 8K worries me a tad, right? Because I think that can turn into, like, Mixon could get his, he can get 100 yards, 2 catches, but then you know, just variance in terms of touchdowns. Joe Burrow throws a few touchdowns to Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, etc. Same thing with the Vikings. I feel like, and these aren't knocks on Madison and Mixon. It's just that I feel like I can, you know, tell myself I can create their paths to failure a bit easier than Taylor, right? Obviously, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen can get in on the scoring a bit. We've seen it happen this year a good bit anyway, right? Dalvin Cook just doesn't get in the end zone. Adam Thielen has 2 touchdowns. Jefferson has a touchdown. Conklin has a touchdown. So I think of the top 3, Taylor has the least likelihood of failing. But I do really like Elijah Mitchell and Antonio Gibson. What I think I am going to do in tournaments, I'm probably going to keep, like, you know, there's like 6 or 7 really solid backs. The 5 that I just mentioned, plus Jamal Williams, plus there's some other good ones in there as well. What I'm going to do is when I'm using those backs, use a leverage stack against a back that I'm not using. What I mean by that is, let's say that in a tournament lineup, I have Antonio Gibson, I have Joe Mixon, and I have Alexander Madison. Well, one of the guys that I've left out is Elijah Mitchell of that stack. I'll run Jimmy Garoppolo, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle with those 3 running backs so that if Elijah Mitchell is the running back that fails of those, you know, running backs in quote-unquote good spots, hopefully it's because their passing game went off. Hopefully you hit on the correct running backs and you're off to the races. So I think that is a unique way to build lineups. You know, if you have Taylor, Mixon, and Jamal Williams, then maybe you go with Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen and Tyler Conklin as a stack, you know, hoping that Madison is the back that fails out of the 5 or 6 that we like. Something to think about for your tournaments. Okay, at quarterback, this one's tough. I mean, Lamar is there, but he has the Steelers. I feel like the Ravens' offense has just not been great. So I think Lamar's off the table, to be honest, in cash for me. I do like Justin Herbert. I think that that game could have a decent amount of points. He throws the ball a ton. You know, Keenan Allen's looked good. Austin Eckler's looked good in the passing game. Obviously, they have Mike Williams. The tight ends are solid in the red zone. I do like Justin Herbert at 6,700. Then there are, and like quarterback is not a great spot this week. I do like Tua as well. The Giants defense, you know, just made Jalen Hurts look like Bubby Brister, but, you know, Tua has looked really good. He's played well. His fantasy points haven't really, you know, jumped off the page. He's around 15, 18, etc. But I could definitely see Tua at his, especially at his price, getting there this week. And to be honest, like, I really don't see much else going on. Like, Derek Carr is down there. I would never play Derek Carr in cash. Like, I could see him going, him like 4Xing and getting 23 or 24 DraftKings points. But Tua and Heinicke at the bottom are the ones that popped out. You know, tough, really tough. And there's a bunch of teams off the slate this week. So I think if you're paying up, you go Herbert or potentially Stafford, right? He's at home against the Jags for 7,300. But he is $600 more than Herbert. But oddly enough, usually the easiest spot for me to handicap quarterback is going to be difficult this week. You know, Tua, Heinicke, Herbert, Stafford, those are the guys that I've narrowed cash down to. It'll really depend on how things shake out with the rest of the lineup. At wide receiver, Cooper Kupp is at the top of the heap. Odell replacing Robert Woods really hasn't done much for Kupp's usage. He's still getting those targets, although The output hasn't been great. The usage is still there. I don't really see myself getting up to a 9K Cooper Kupp. In this instance, he very well could score two touchdowns, have another 35-point fantasy game. But I think the way the salaries are shaping up this week, it just doesn't warrant it. I would rather spend for those solid running backs and keep wide receiver in the mid-range, or at least in the mid to high range, because we are going to have a good amount of salary to play with if we use two cheap running backs. Now, if you go Taylor and Mixon or Taylor and Madison, then you'll probably have to find a punt receiver or at least use Tua in cash, I think. Obviously, Keenan Allen is there, 7,500, 10 targets last week. His usage dropped a little bit, but I think, like I said, this game could get, a little bit, could be a little bit of a shootout. I don't mind Keenan Allen there, but then you have guys that are getting priced up like Adam Thielen, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. Their prices are kind of creeping up and really not matching their output, their expectation. Deontay Johnson is still in the 6K range. I think he's still too cheap. Again, last week, goes for 14 targets. Now, he ended up 9 for 95. I mean, that's 18.5 DraftKings points. He's 1 5-yard catch away from a 22 or 23-point day. So, things would probably be different if that was the case. But he has seen 13 or more targets in 5 of his last 6 games. That's ridiculous for 6,800. I don't mind going back to Deontay Johnson. Chris Godwin, he's known for smashing the Falcons. So I think at 6,600, he is in play. Waddle's expensive now, right? Waddle's 6,400, but he is absolutely crushing it. I mean, if you look at his usage, he has at least 9 targets in every game since week 6. So just great usage there, and he's doing a lot with it. I mean, he went up and, you don't expect Jalen Waddle to be a jump ball kind of guy, but got one of those in the end zone last week, came down with it, had his biggest day, his first 100-yard game of the year, but still, he is a reception machine. 6,400 might be a little steep, but I wouldn't fault anybody for playing Jalen Waddle in cash. Hunter Renfro, without Darren Waller there, should see an uptick in targets. I don't mind Hunter Renfro. Darnell Mooney at 5,600 if Allen Robinson sits again. I mean, his usage has just been through the roof without Allen Robinson. They get the Cardinals at home. I could see him racking up 10 to 12 targets at 5.6K in that one. Brandon Ayuk with Debo Samuel out at 5,600. Could see Brandon Ayuk having a pretty big day as well. Under Brandon Ayuk, I don't really see much that I love, right? So, like, there's not a ton of value under that 56K range. Tyler Boyd's up to 5K. He was floating around in the 4Ks, was a decent value for a while there. LaVisca is still 4,400, but I mean, like, his usage is so screwy. Last week, he got a ton of targets in the first quarter, and this happens a lot. Ton of targets in the first quarter for him. Like, he's a very streaky target getter. And by that, I mean, like, he can go 3 quarters without getting a target and then have 6 targets in the fourth quarter. And the box score looks okay then, but he's just not someone that's, like, continually involved in the offense. It's like when they're calling plays, they say, all right, let's get LaVisca out there for this series and let's get him some passes. So they throw a screen or they throw a slant or they give him a jet sweep or something, and then that doesn't go too well, or they think he's being ineffective, and then he doesn't see the ball for the rest of the game. Or that those play calls don't happen until the fourth quarter. Just very strange usage for Visca, so probably not on him. At tight end, there is only most likely 2 considerations for me. It's going to be, I guess you could say 3, right? George Kittle is the top-end guy without Debo Samuel. He should see a bunch of targets, like was basically invisible last week. But this week without Debo, you figure he should see a few more targets. The other two are just cheapies. Foster Moreau without Darren Waller. He scores touchdowns a lot even when Darren Waller is around. Hopefully Foster Moreau gets involved at 2,700. And James O'Shag Hennessy. James O'Shaughnessy is going to replace Dan Arnold. He was targeted a bunch last week. I don't think there is a big gap between Foster Moreau and James O'Shaughnessy. I think Moreau has a better chance of scoring a touchdown, right? Like Moreau has a better chance of getting there on a 2 for 30 and one line and having 11 DK points with a touchdown. But I think O'Shaughnessy is more of a safer play in terms of, you know, 6 for 60, 12 points on 6 catches for James O'Shaughnessy, right? I think he is probably a safer bet for more targets, more receptions, whereas Moreau is definitely more of a red zone threat. That tends to tell me that O'Shaughnessy might be the better play because he might see more targets. I could see them needing to throw a ton with the Rams being up. I still haven't decided, but I think it'll be a punt with either O'Shaughnessy or Moreau for me. Defense is just a mess this week. There is not a load. There's not a cheap defense that really sticks out. Maybe the football team or the Raiders. They're obviously playing each other. I could see either of those defenses having a decent day. I mean, there are some good defenses out there, like the Dolphins playing the Giants, the Eagles playing the Jets. I mean, there's some really good defenses over 3K. I don't think it's really a punt defense week. There's just not much down there. But I mean, I guess if we play two cheaper running backs, you know, two running backs at 6K or below, stay in that mid-range for a receiver, punt at tight end, maybe we could afford ourselves a few extra $100 to get up to a defense that actually doesn't look like trash on paper. As always, around Friday at noon, my Core 4 and Stacks article will drop on 4-for-4 football. It is my 4 favorite cash plays. Four players that I think you have to lock into your cash lineup, and then 2 stacks that I'll be using in tournaments this week. Good luck in all your Week 13 NFL DFS contests.